Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it's Wednesday, and that means it's time to speak with a representative from the American Legion. That venerable VSO joins us every Wednesday to talk about the amazing work that they're doing and the amazing things going on and the things that they're concerned with as they look at veterans' issues as well. And joining us today is Lou Celli. Lou is the Director of Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation at the American Legion. Lou, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Eric, thanks so much. It's great to be back. Doing well.
How's everything going with the Department of, the Veterans Department at the American Legion, specifically the Veterans Affairs Department that you head up? How would you say things are going over there right now?
You know, ironically, things are going very well. You know, we've just come out of a season where the VA has gotten trounced for a number of different scandals. But over the course of the past several months, you know, really since January, the Trump administration has passed more positive legislation for veterans than we've seen passed over the past several years. So we're very happy. We're riding on a high wave right now, trying to get veterans the care and services that they deserve.
One of the news stories that now the administration came out, and we talked to AmVets about this, as Joe Schinelli was kind of a little up in arms because he thought it looked like Secretary Shulkin might be leaving the VA for the Health and Human Services post. After a week of will he go or won't he, the administration comes out and says, well, he was never really under consideration for that post. So now that that news is out there, do you see that as good news for the VA? It seems most of my fellow veterans are pretty happy with what Dr. Shulkin's been doing over there.
Absolutely. I was never really concerned personally that Dr. Shulkin was going to take another job. I mean, why would he? It just didn't make any sense. Why leave the second largest agency in the federal government to go to a smaller agency that's on fire? That just didn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes there are those people who are known to go into places and right the ship. And that's kind of like, you know, they have that mentality of whether they want to be the hero or not, they feel that they're cut out for it. Dr. Shulkin seems to be specifically cut out for this VA directorship and so far doing a great job there. And as you said, you know, a lot of people, let's be honest, whatever administration is in office, they're going to be people who love it. They're going to be people who hate it. Right now, it seems there's those two extremes and not much in the middle. But when it comes to what they've been doing for veterans, it seems that many, if not most, in the veteran community are pretty happy with what the administration's been able to get done. And, you know, while we hear discussions of, a lot of that was started by the last administration. Okay, well, they were in office for 8 years, and if that stuff didn't happen, how come they only got started on everything in the last couple of months? I think that you have to attribute at least some of these successes to the current administration. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, Eric. As a matter of fact, veterans seem to be the shining crown jewel in this administration. Of all of the legislation that's been passed so far, veterans legislation is really probably the most prominent of this administration. As a matter of fact, the president specifically came to our convention in Reno, Nevada, and signed on our stage a piece of veteran-centric legislation, the right. Appeals Modernization Act.
And that has been one of the things that's gone on with the veteran community that's been fantastic. And who would know better than Lou Celli, the Director of Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation at the American Legion. One thing that hasn't gone great for the VA overall is the CHOICE program. We saw the emergency funding that, you know, to sum up things in a very short sentence here, basically. They thought they'd have a surplus of money. Turned out they needed extra money. Then it turned out that maybe that extra money that they needed wasn't enough for what they needed. The CHOICE program is now looking like it might evolve into something called the CARE Act. These two are very closely related, and there are a lot of questions out there about exactly what this means for the veterans community. So first, the CARE Act. Can you break that down and explain it for the layman like me, somebody who's not very bright and is interested in this stuff but doesn't have all the details? What is the CARE Act, and how different is it from CHOICE, if at all?
Absolutely, Eric. That's a wonderful question. And as a matter of fact, the CARE Act really is the evolution of healthcare for veterans that the American Legion has been advocating for years. When the American Legion supported the CHOICE Act, which was an emergency funding measure to try to help get more money into VA to see those veterans that were on those wait lists, the American Legion did that with the understanding that this would eventually be transformed and grow into a more comprehensive health care program that the VA is now rolling out, which is the CARE Act.
So the CARE Act is a more comprehensive program than choice, but it still involves people having the ability to see outside providers. You know, there's been a lot of worry with some people over the privatization of the VA, the CARE Act. Is that moving more towards privatization, more away from it, staying where we are now? How do you view it?
Again, Eric, you're on fire. You're right on point. You know, the VA has always outsourced care that they couldn't provide organically.
Right.
They've been doing that ever since there was a VA. The VA has never been able to see all of the veterans that have been eligible for care, and they've always paid for it in the community, and we've just called it different things. And over the course of many years, the VA, the Congress has layered program after program on themselves at VA between PC3 and Choice and community contracts and all of the different programs that Congress has layered on there, which is now being consolidated into the CARE program, so that there can be one portal of entry, one source of eligibility. It makes it much easier for veterans to enter, and it also makes it easier for physicians to get paid.
Wow, and that is a big thing. And you know what's interesting is you bring in that outsourcing of care. That's not limited to the VA. I actually just remembered, as you said that, when I was on active duty in the Navy down in Jacksonville, I needed to have wisdom teeth removed. Well, for whatever reason, Jacksonville didn't do wisdom teeth at that time, or it was going to take a ridiculously long amount of time for me to get it done. I don't remember exactly which it was, but I went out and saw a civilian dentist out in town. So this isn't something that's even limited to the VA. Some people on active duty have to have things referred out into town. So the CARE Act, positive, negative, not sure yet. Do we know everything about it? Is it still in development? I mean, at what stage is it right now?
Yeah, so right now it's a draft, and it's very comprehensive. There are things about it that we absolutely love, things about it that we want more information on, but it is the direction that the VA needs to go, and the American Legion does support it, and we support that modernization of VA. You know, healthcare overall is changing, not only in this country, but around the world. Years ago, a patient who needed a knee replacement would be in the hospital probably 3 or 4 weeks.
All
now,
right.
They're in the hospital for 3 or 4 days because they need to rehabilitate quicker. And they're finding that this type of holistic health medicine or health care is supporting quicker recovery times. And the VA is trying to do that same thing as well.
When people hear about changes to VA care, particularly with our older veterans, and there's been some interesting things happening. Again, we had a letter brought to our attention that was sent out to some people saying like, hey, some of this stuff that you've heard is not going to be gone. Well, we may be removing it when it comes to like individual unemployability and things like that. Some confusing letters, some confusing information, hearing different things from different people, the media presenting things one way, the administration presenting it the other. So I think for our older veterans in particular, those who in many cases, the VA is their healthcare. That's all that they have. A lot of them are worried about what this will mean for them. There's a lot of details that they may or may not want to know about, but in the end, their question is, what does this mean for me? So what does the CARE Act mean for our senior citizen veterans who rely on VA care? Is life going to get easier, more difficult? Is this a good change?
Eric, what we're really seeing now is something that's a very positive, very positive thing in our community right now, and that is transparency. So years gone past, you would ultimately just see the final result of a decision being made. But what you're seeing now is you're seeing the thought process unfolding in our community with VSOs and stakeholders taking part in that discussion. So when you see things like individual unemployability coming into question as to whether it's a necessary program or not, or it can be disbanded or dismantled in favor of greater savings for the government, that's when VSOs get involved and say, hold on, time out, you don't really understand how that program works and why it's important. So, yeah, people get freaked out when they, you know, when they're in the middle of the discussion that could end badly for them, but know that VSOs and stakeholders are there specifically to carry their message. And when it comes to the VA, we're not going to let the VA get privatized. And it's not because we think that, you know, the VA needs to be in place for the sake of the VA. We think that the VA is instrumental because it provides veteran-centric care. The VA physicians and VA clinics understand what veterans need because they deal with veterans every single day.
Right.
And not only that, we've earned it. We've earned that one refuge in a place where, you know, we have evolved as a community to understand that we deserve this type of veteran-centered care. And not only that, if they privatize VA care, they're realizing now how expensive that could possibly be. So one of two things has to happen. Either they have to infuse billions more into a program with a deficit that's already out of control, or they have to figure out a way to tailor back eligibility and provide less care for veterans. Neither of those are acceptable. And that's why we support VA, because they're a far more cost-effective way to see the veterans that need that health care.
We're speaking with Lou Celli, who is the Director of Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation at the American Legion. And you just talked about finances, which we touched on earlier, how the CHOICE Act, which essentially as it stands now would be the predecessor to CARE, ran out of money when it wasn't expected to, got emergency funding, and now they're saying, well, that emergency funding may not be enough to get us to the point that we told you that might be. What do we need to do to make sure that this kind of funding issue, this funding shortfall, budget shortfall, stops happening? Or is there a way that we can make sure that it stops happening?
All right. So again, what we're seeing is expanded transparency. And keep in mind, as we said earlier, the VA has always contracted out. And all we're looking at with the CHOICE program is one particular contracting vehicle. There are other contracting vehicles that are flush with money right now, and the secretary has access to all of those pots of money to be able to move them as he sees fit and to fund the different contracting vehicles the way they need to be funded in the different regions, with the exception of the CHOICE program. The CHOICE program was funded out of what's called mandatory funding. So there was a firewall between that pot of money and the other pots of healthcare money that he's used to being able to move around. And when McDonald was the secretary, what happened was, he saw that he didn't have access to move that money in the CHOICE bill around and wanted to be able to not lose that money, because the way the law was written, if he didn't use that money in 3 years, Congress would have reabsorbed it and he would have lost it. So he directed all of his hospitals and caregivers and directors to use that money exclusively until that money was gone. And now what you've got is you've got this imbalance of CHOICE first, is what they called it, trying to use that money so that, you know, so that they wouldn't lose it and it would go back to the Treasury. But, you know, that's why the CARE program is so important, because it helps try to consolidate all of that funding activity and all of that contracting activity so that the secretary can help make better choices with his directors so that they can use that money more efficiently.
You know, when we look at these new programs coming out and these new ideas, it seems whenever there is a new one, there's a chorus that comes up of, ah, what are they doing? And it's oftentimes the same people that are calling for change at the VA. Well, the VA is broken. Well, they're trying to fix it. And then when fixes come out, those same people complaining about it being broken complain about the fixes. Do you think that's a case of you can't please all the people all the time? Is there a way to make everybody happy with the VA? Or is there always going to be that segment of the veteran population that just thinks it's a dumpster fire no matter what?
Well, I think what we should do is we should concentrate on the people that actually use VA. And those are the voices that we should take into consideration. And that's, again, where VSO, and I'm not here to sell VSOs, but, you know, that's where VSOs become critically important, because those are our members. You know, our members are the folks that actually use the VA facilities. And by and large, what we have learned year after year after year is that veterans like the VA. The ones that use it like it. You know, there are going to be stories where veterans are displeased or unhappy with their service, and that's going to happen. Keep in mind that VA provides the largest healthcare network in the country. So you're going to have unhappy or dissatisfied patients, and that's going to happen anywhere. But for the most part, veterans love VA. They love their doctors. They love being able to go to the VA. They love being able to network, you know, with other veterans when they go there. They like the programs that are specific to their needs. And VA is not going away anytime soon. I can guarantee you that.
One of the things that we've talked about time and time again is that most issues that you hear about with the VA are related more to the bureaucracy than the actual patient care. The ability to get an appointment, that's part of what leads people to taking advantage of the CHOICE program when they can't get an appointment. So, hey, we'll find a way to get one out in town. I've told the story of the one issue I had at the VA was showing up for an appointment, checking in, and they forgot that I was there essentially for like 3-4 hours. And by the time I realized that the movie I was watching was over and that it had been 3 hours, I was a little bit angry. But the care that I saw after those 3 hours was fantastic. So there is that disconnect. Now, they've done some things to address the bureaucracy lately, including the streamlining of the appeals process, and also the ability to now fire people who are maybe consistently having problems like that. What's the next step that you think the VA needs to take to start cutting through that red tape, the paperwork, and the things that cause these underlying issues?
Well, I think overall you're hearing about those types of stories less and less. And, you know, how we got here was, you know, we were in an environment where the VA would ask for a certain amount of money from the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, and subsequently to Congress every year, and said, okay, we need $100 to see 100 veterans next year. And OMB would come back and say, hey, that's great. Here's 90. Go figure it out. And that's how you ended up with these gaps in, you know, in funding. And that's how you ended up with people who couldn't get seen because VA never really had enough money. Well, that changed with the 2014 Phoenix scandal. And what we're going to see in the future is we have now a secretary who has a healthcare background, who has run large hospitals,
right,
who has been in charge of major healthcare organizations and understands what 21st century medicine looks like and can able to right size the areas where it needs to be adjusted. So instead of having, you know, large hospitals in remote areas that only see 15 or 16 patients a day, maybe that just needs to be a clinic. And that way you've got the right physicians on call. You've got people who aren't getting bored. You've got, you know, you've got the right flow of patients through that hospital. But then in other areas that are larger, like larger metro areas, you're increasing your capacity so that you have a much more nimble and a much more effective crew on board. And I think that's what we're going to see happen in the future. You're going to see the secretary start to right size and adjust the pieces of his network in a way that's far more effective.
We're speaking with Lou Celli. Lou is the Director of Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation at the American Legion, talking about the VA specifically and the CARE Act and all sorts of things that are going on over there. And, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, that I think that's why so many people were worried about the possibility, even if it was a long shot, although some people thought it was a pretty good shot that he might be leaving, of the secretary leaving, because he has that background. And again, the modernization, he's run those facilities and still practicing. He's still a physician. He's,
that's right.
He's the first, I believe, the first VA secretary to actually see patients while serving as the VA secretary. So he seems to check off all the boxes of what we needed. So, you know, it's good to see, I think, that he's staying at the Department of Veterans Affairs, because, yeah, I guess technically speaking at HHS, he could have affected a larger amount of people in theory via policy, but the veteran community is one that he seems to be closely tied into, and one that seems to be pretty thankful for all he's been able to do for them. Another interesting thing that the Legion does that has to do with the VA is your veteran service officers, basically those who help people interact with the VA and ensure that they're getting the right care, making sure that they're not missing out on something that they didn't know because it was paragraph 12, subsection 3 of the 80-page letter that you got from the VA telling you about your benefits. How important is it, particularly in this time of change and overhaul and overturn at the VA, that people get in contact with the VSO, whether they're a member of the Legion or not?
Oh, Eric, that's the best kept secret in the veteran service community are these department service officers. The American Legion accredits more than 3,200 service officers across the nation, and they are there specifically to assist veterans understand what their access to benefits might be, and if they need to help have their claim or possibly an appeal filed, they will do that for you at no charge to you. The American Legion pays for all the training. The different county service officers, the departments that are within the American Legion pay those salaries, so we don't charge a dime for our services. And they are there not only to help the veteran, but they'll also help veterans' families. They are there as a source of information.
And that's the interesting thing. The organizations that provide those veteran service officers, it's not just for your membership. It's not just for the Legionnaire. It's not just for the VFW member. All you guys are putting this out there because every veteran needs this. And, you know, for every veteran like myself, I'm no longer having to go to the VA for care. I'm on my wife's insurance plan, so it's a separate thing. But when I did, I didn't know necessarily what was available to me. And even going through the transition, like I thought I'd have dental care for those 7 years I was out. Nope, no dental care whatsoever. You know, so those VSOs that come from the VSOs, again, we have the VSOs, veteran service organizations like the Legion, and the veteran service officers, a separate thing. If people want to find out about those and how to get in touch with them, is there a specific place on the Legion website that they can go to?
There is, you know, right there on our website. It's called Find a Service Officer, and you can click on that and put your zip code in, and they'll come up with a list of all of the service officers in that area. You can just click on one and contact them. And if you ever have any problems contacting your service officer, you can always contact our national headquarters.
Yeah, or just go to your closest Legion post, right, and somebody there will be able to put you in touch with them. You know, we used to have that happen at my VFW post. People would come and say, I have a question. We don't know the answer, but you know what? Somebody does. And at the Legion, it's the exact same thing going on with that. Now, with the Legion, getting information out to your membership and out to veterans in general can sometimes be the hardest thing, you know, getting the necessary info out to your audience. How do you think the Legion is doing at that? And how do you think you guys can maybe improve, or do you need to improve?
You know, I think we do as good a job as some of the other veteran service organizations. We have, as a matter of fact, our magazine, the Legion magazine,
right,
is the highest read magazine in homes across America, as rated by the, you know, the organizations that take those types of metrics. And we were just, you know, very fortunate to learn that, you know, again, this year we were rated as the number one magazine. We, you know, we have a website, and it's shows like this that are really important to get out not only to our members, but to veterans at large, so that they understand what their benefits are. Whether they join the Legion or not really is inconsequential. The point is, we are here to serve them, and we've been doing this since 1919. We're coming up on our 100-year anniversary, specifically helping veterans, and now with social media, with you know, with websites, and with radio programs like this that you can actually download and listen to later at your convenience. It really is helping increase exposure for those veterans that may not understand what their benefit eligibility might be.
And that's what the American Legion is working to do. Again, not just for their membership, but for veterans in general, veterans at large. They're trying to help everybody understand what's going on, because, I mean, Lou, you can tell us, it's a difficult map to navigate and figure out.
It is extremely difficult. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, some of the training that we give not only our claims specialists, but also our appeals specialists, we give them legal training, we give them medical training, we give them administrative training. So there's a large amount of work and training that goes into, you know, preparing someone to do this job before they're even able to see the first case.
Right. Well, we've been speaking with Lou Celli. Lou is the Director of Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation at the American Legion. And again, Lou, if people are interested in finding out more about the Legion, joining the Legion, finding out how to get in touch with those veteran service officers, where do they go to do that?
You know, it's not hard. Legion.org. Very easy website to find. There's lots of information there, and we're happy to help out with, you know, with any type of questions you might have. And we service more than 750,000 veterans each year through our claims and appeals division.
Fantastic work being done by the good folks over at the Legion, including Lou Celli. Lou, thanks so much for stopping by today and giving us all this great info.
Eric, thanks so much for having me. I'll come back anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.